Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something that, honestly, can really unlock a new level in your golf game. We're talking intentional shot shaping.
That's right. Specifically, the fade and the draw.
Exactly. These aren't just lucky bounces off a tree, right? They're controlled curves. They give you, well, serious command out there on the course.
Absolutely. And we've looked at some fantastic insights that really break down how these shots work. And importantly, how you can actually execute them.
Yeah, because learning to hit a fade and a draw, it isn't just about looking fancy.
No, not at all. It's about gaining real control, getting yourself out of tricky spots, and just making your rounds more rewarding, especially when you're playing on some of those more diverse courses like you find all over South Africa, for instance.
Oh, exactly. I mean, think about those dog legs that just seem to pinch in right where you want to land your drive.
Or the bunkers perfectly placed to catch that straight ball.
Or those trees. Always seem to be right in your line, don't they?
They do. And that's where the fade and the draw become, well, invaluable tools.
So our mission today is pretty straightforward, really. We want to equip you with a solid understanding of these two key shot shapes.
The mechanics behind them, feel.
Yeah, and how you can actually start practicing them. Get them into your game.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Let's start with the fade. For a right-handed golfer, what exactly are we talking about?
Okay, yeah, let's define that. So a fade, for a righty, it's a controlled shot. The ball gently curves from left to right in the air.
And it's crucial to distinguish that from a slice.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
A slice is usually uncontrolled, unintentional, often way overdone. The fade is deliberate, controlled movement.
And how does that happen mechanically?
Well, it comes down to the club face being slightly open at impact relative to the swing path. This puts a bit of cut spin on the ball.
Which makes it land a bit softer, maybe lose a bit of forward momentum compared to a straight shot.
Exactly. But the payoff is that increased control in the air.
So what makes having that reliable fade such a, well, such a valuable asset in the bag?
Well, first off, it's fantastic for navigating obstacles. Think about those beautiful but challenging tree-lined fairways. Places like Fancourt or Leopard Creek come to mind.
Instead of just blasting it and hoping.
Yeah, or playing super conservatively way out to the side. A good fade lets you curve the ball around the trouble, keep it in play, stay in position.
And it's great for approach shots too, isn't it? For precision.
Huge for approaches. Getting the ball to stop softly, holding the green, especially when the pin is tucked on the right side.
Yeah.
That control is key.
Precisely. Okay, so let's get into the how. What's happening in the swing itself for a right-hander to produce that nice left-to-right shape?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting, the setup and swing. For a fade, you'll typically want to set up with a slightly open stance.
Meaning your body, feet, hips, shoulders are aimed a little left of your final target.
Exactly.
Mm.
Then the ball position is usually a touch forward in your stance, maybe just inside your left heel, something like that.
And the swing path, that's critical.
Absolutely critical. The path needs to be outside to inside relative to that target line. You're swinging across the ball slightly.
And combining that path with the club face?
Right. At impact, the club face needs to be slightly open to your target line, but maybe square or slightly closed to the path you're swinging on. That difference creates the spin.
Got it. And the grip. Does that play a role?
It can. Some players find a neutral or even slightly weaker grip helps. That means rotating your top hand slightly to the left on the club for a righty makes it a bit easier to leave that face open.
Okay. And we see this being useful on specific types of holes, right? Like those dog legs.
Definitely. Thinking about a course like Arabella Golf Club, they have some holes where being able to fade it around the corner is a massive advantage.
Mm-hmm. It just opens up the hole. And speaking of players who use it well.
You have to think of Ernie Els, a South African legend, obviously, just known for incredible precision.
And he uses that controlled fade so effectively, so consistently.
It's a testament to how repeatable his swing path is and his, well, mastery of controlling that club face through impact. Just beautiful to watch.
It really is. So if someone listening wants to start feeling this out, start practicing hitting a fade, what's a good drill?
Oh, a really effective one and pretty simple. Uses alignment sticks or even just some tees.
Okay.
You lay them on the ground to basically create a visual gate or pathway. Set them up to encourage that swing path from outside, across the ball, and back to the inside.
So it guides the club on the right track.
Exactly. It gives you that visual and physical feedback. The more you groove that feeling, that outside to in motion, the more reliable that fade is going to become.
Right. So you start getting that feel.
Yes, you're getting the feel for the path. Okay, now let's flip things around. Let's talk about the draw.
Okay, the draw. What exactly is that for our right-handed listeners? The opposite shape.
Pretty much. The draw is often described as that elegant shot shape. It starts a little bit right of your target line and then gently curves back to the left through the air.
Aesthetically pleasing, for sure. But what are the main advantages it offers a golfer?
Well, the big one, usually, is the potential for a bit more distance and power.
Okay, how so?
Because of the type of spin hook spin, essentially the ball tends to fly a bit lower, a more penetrating trajectory.
Right, less ballooning.
Exactly. And because of that spin axis, it often gets more roll when it lands compared to a fade or even a stray shot.
And that extra roll can be really useful, especially in certain conditions.
Oh, definitely. Think about playing into the wind or even just firm fairways. That extra roll helps. It's particularly handy in breezy conditions, which, you know, are pretty common across many parts of South Africa.
So the mechanics must be different then. If a righty wants to hit that draw, that right to left shape, how does the technique change from the fade?
It's almost like a mirror image in some ways. For the draw, you'll want to set up with a slightly closed stance.
Okay, so body aligned a little to the right of the target this time.
Correct. Feet, hips, shoulders pointing slightly right. And the ball position usually shifts back a bit in the stance, maybe towards the center or even slightly towards your right foot.
And the swing path, inside to outside now.
Exactly. That's the key move. You need to swing the club from the inside out towards the ball relative to your target line.
And the club face at impact.
Needs to be slightly close to the target line, but maybe square or slightly open to that inside-out path you're swinging on. Again, it's that relationship between path and face that creates the spin.
And grip-wise, maybe a stronger grip helps here.
Yeah, some players find that helps. Rotating the top hand slightly to the right on the club can make it easier to release the club and get that face closing through impact.
There's also something about body rotation and weight shift with the draw, isn't there? Especially for power.
Absolutely. A good weight transfer is really key. Feeling your weight shift onto your back foot in the backswing, then smoothly and powerfully shifting to your front foot through the downswing.
Engaging the core, getting that full rotation.
Yes, exactly. That helps generate the club head speed and encourages that inside-out path needed for a powerful draw.
And we see the draw being particularly effective on certain types of courses or features.
Yeah. Think about courses with maybe undulating fairways, like Westlake Golf Club down in the Cape.
Yeah.
A legend has Gary Player use his draw masterfully there.
Right. Or courses with wide sort of sweeping fairways, like maybe Simula, where getting that extra distance off the tee is a real plus.
Oh, definitely. And speaking of Gary Player.
The master of the draw, many would say.
Absolutely. His power, his ability to shape the ball that way, it was just legendary. He really emphasized that full body turn, that dynamic weight shift, and of course, incredible club face control.
A great model for anyone wanting to hit a draw. So what's a good practice drill for developing that inside out feel?
Well, again, alignment sticks are your friend here.
Okay.
Similar idea to the fade drill, but you set them up differently. Create a pathway or gate that encourages you to swing from the inside out towards the target line. It helps ingrain that correct motion.
Makes sense. Visual feedback again. But there's also a mental side to hitting a draw, isn't there? Maybe more so than the fade sometimes?
I think so, yeah. Visualization plays a huge role. Before you even set up, really try to picture that ball flight. See it starting right, curving gently back towards your target.
Mentally rehearsing it.
Exactly. Picture exactly where you want it to land. That mental clarity can honestly make a surprising difference in how well you execute the shot. I remember playing Arabella once, actually totally blocked by a tree on a dog leg left. If I hadn't been able to hit some kind of controlled fade, I would have been chipping out sideways.
Right. That's when you really appreciate having these shots in your locker. It turns a problem into just another shot to execute.
Okay, so we've talked fade, we've talked draw. Does the actual equipment, the clubs you're using, make a difference?
It definitely can play a role, yeah. Choosing the right clubs can, let's say, make it a little easier to get the shape you want. Well, for example, clubs with more loft, like your higher irons or wedges, naturally generate more backspin. That can sometimes make it slightly easier to get that cut spin for a fade.
Okay.
Conversely, lower lofted clubs, like your driver or fairway woods, tend to produce a stronger lower flight. That can sometimes help achieve that more penetrating ball flight you often see with a draw.
But it's not like you need special fade or draw clubs.
Yeah, no, not at all. But understanding these tendencies helps. And versatility is key, especially on varied courses like in South Africa. Hybrids, fairway woods, they give you options depending on the lie, the shot you need.
Right, and we keep coming back to this, but the setup is just non-negotiable, isn't it?
Absolutely fundamental. You're spot on. Correct stance, correct alignment for both the fade and the draw. If that's off, you're fighting an uphill battle before you even swing.
Yeah, making it much harder than it needs to be.
Exactly. And like we touched on, those subtle grip adjustments, weaker for fade, stronger for draw, they really do influence the club face angle at impact, and that directly affects the ball flight.
And what about grip pressure? That's something people maybe don't think about enough when trying to shape shots.
That's a fantastic point. Often overlooked, no matter what shot shape you're trying to hit, keeping a consistent, relaxed grip pressure is so crucial.
Not strangling the club.
Right. Too much tension kills feel, restricts your hands and arms, and makes it really hard to control that club face precisely through impact. You need smooth speed, not tight tension.
Okay, let's pivot specifically to playing in South Africa now. How might the unique conditions there influence how and when you'd use a fade or a draw?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for many South African courses is wind, especially on the coast.
Oh, yeah. Garden Route, Western Cape. It can blow.
It certainly can. So you need to adapt your shot shape, hitting into a headwind, for example.
A draw might be better, lower flight.
Often, yes. That lower, more penetrating flight tends to hold this line better into the wind. Whereas maybe in a crosswind, say left to right.
A controlled fade might be better to hold the ball against the wind. Stop it drifting too far right.
Exactly. You're using the shot shape to counteract the wind's effect. It's about managing the conditions.
And it's not just the wind, is it? The sheer variety, of course, layouts, the different types of terrain.
Absolutely. South Africa has everything. You've got coastal links courses, maybe in the Eastern Cape. You've got parkland courses up in the highlands, Mpumalanga way.
Even courses with incredibly varied terrain within 18 holes, like Pazula and Kizna, maybe.
Right. You get uphill lies, downhill lies, sidehill lies, all sorts of different situations. Being able to shape the ball gives you so much more flexibility to adapt your shot to the specific lie and the demands of the hole.
Altitude is another factor too, isn't it? If you're playing up in the Drakensberg or somewhere high.
That's right. Thinner air means less resistance. The ball generally travels further.
So you need to account for that.
You do, especially when trying to control distance with shaped shots. You might find you need to hit a slightly lower trajectory fade or draw just to keep it under control and manage that extra distance the altitude gives you.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. If we were to really boil down, simplify it for everyone listening, what are the absolute core differences between a fade and a draw for a right-handed golfer?
Fundamentally, it's just the direction the ball curves in the air. Simple as that. Fade, curves left to right. Draw, curves right to left.
That's the main distinction.
That's the essential difference. All the setup and swing stuff we talked about is just the how to achieve that curve reliably.
And the key to actually doing that reliably, hitting both shots when you want to, it really just comes down to practice, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. There's no magic bullet. You have to put in the time on the range, working on ball position, stance, and especially grooving those different swing paths for the fade and the draw.
Building that muscle memory.
That's exactly it. Developing the feel and the trust so that you can produce that shape on command.
And while we said you don't need special clubs, understanding how your existing clubs behave is still useful.
Oh, definitely. Knowing that, say, your 7-iron might be easier to fade than your 3-wood, or vice versa. That's valuable information when you're out on the course deciding what shot to hit. It's just another tool in your strategic toolbox.
And always remembering that the environment, the conditions you're playing in, they matter a lot.
Hugely. Weather, especially wind, as we said, is often a major factor in deciding which shot shape is smarter for a given situation. And yeah, remembering altitude if you're playing high up.
Okay, so what are some really practical, concrete things listeners can start doing tomorrow or next time they practice to actually start incorporating these shots?
Okay, first thing, get those alignment sticks, head to the range, and really focus on grooving those paths outside in for the fade, inside out for the draw.
Start slow, get the feeling.
Exactly. And before you swing, take that extra second to visualize. Really see the shot shape you want. Experiment a little with grip pressure. Maybe try that slightly weaker or stronger grip we mentioned. See how it feels, how it affects the ball.
And be patient, right? It won't happen overnight.
Definitely not. Be patient with yourself, but be persistent with the practice. That's key.
And maybe start trying them out on the course in low-pressure situations, practice rounds.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid to experiment. Courses like, you know, Fan Court, Arabella, Gary Player Country Club, they offer such diverse challenges, great places to really test yourself and see where a fade or a draw can help you navigate the hole better.
Because ultimately, this isn't just about hitting cool-looking shots, is it?
Not at all. It's fundamentally about improving your course management, making smarter strategic decisions out there.
Right. When you can intentionally shape the ball, you can play the course more proactively, plan your way around, rather than just reacting to where your straight shot happens to end up.
Exactly. You start seeing different ways to play a hole.
So wrapping up this deep dive then, it seems pretty clear. Having the ability to hit both a fade and a draw, these are really valuable tools for any golfer, especially if you're serious about improving and handling different course conditions.
Absolutely. They give you options. They give you control. Think about how adding these techniques could open up totally new possibilities, new strategies for you on your next round. Doesn't matter if you're battling coastal winds or navigating tight, tree-lined fairways inland.
Yeah. And maybe here's a final thought to leave you with. The next time you're standing over a shot and there's an obstacle in your way, could be a tree blocking your direct line, maybe a tricky dog leg demanding a specific shape.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a second and think, how could intentionally shaping this shot, hitting a controlled fade or draw, transform this challenge right here into a genuine opportunity, an opportunity maybe to save a stroke or just showcase a bit more skill? How could that change the way you play the hole?